Hi, my name is John Arnold, and I'm your host today at A Practical Disciple. Our guest is Allison Lewis, and she'll be sharing with us how to use principles from her book, The 7-Minute Difference, to help us grow in our faith. So let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Allison. Welcome to The Practical Disciple.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited because I'm getting to talk with you about 7-Minute Difference, which is a book that I have really enjoyed and I've applied some in my own life. And I'm excited you're willing to share with my readers a little bit about that. Could we start, Allison, for listeners who maybe are unfamiliar with the 7-Minute Difference, by just take a moment and give us a little overview, if you would, please.
Of course. I'm holding the book, The 7-Minute Difference, in my hand, and it is a book on time management and productivity and purpose. It's about rediscovering who you are and how you can make those little segments of 7 minutes at a time laser in on what's most important so your life can have meaning and purpose and fulfillment. So The 7-Minute Difference was written in 2006 to help people rediscover all those things in life that they're really hoping to be excited about and to regain control over in their lives.
Great. Well, I know that throughout the book, one of the themes that popped out over and over again for me is that change happens in an instant. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what that means, because, you know, I think a lot of us work really hard at change, and I don't think you mean that it's necessarily easy. Well, it is easy, but there's kind of an oxymoron there. Tell us what that means, change happens in an instant.
Well, that phrase happened to me at the age of 43. It actually happened in a church service. I was walking in the door, and one of my friends came up to me, and they said three words that really startled me. One of my friends at the age of 46 said, "I've got cancer." And when she said that, it's like there was a line in the sand, and for her life, she had just found out that she had 6 months to live, and all of a sudden change does happen in an instant. It can happen when you face any kind of crisis or any kind of joy in your life. And so literally, I think you can wake up and be facing one direction in life and have an awakening, almost a realization that you can be different tomorrow than you are today and make a decision to step one or two steps forward and literally do a 180. In fact, in the Bible, as we study it, that's what repentance is. Mm-hmm. Change can happen in an instant when we make a decision to go a completely different direction in our lives. And that's the message of hope in The 7-Minute Difference.
Right. And, you know, and that's why I really wanted to interview you about this book, because while it is a book that's in general about productivity, and it's not explicitly, say, aimed at a Christian audience, really benefit anyone, to me, as I read it, all I kept thinking is, wow, this is so helpful in terms of like repentance. You know we have things in our lives that we want to change. We know we want to grow in our discipleship. And sometimes that can be overwhelming. But one of the great things about your book is it's very practical, and it's a practical way to bring people hope on how to go about making that change. So one thing that I would love for you to explain are micro actions. That also leapt off the page at me, because that's one of those little practical tidbits that I loved. Talk about micro actions for a minute, if you would.
Well, a 7-minute micro action are those tiny little things that you can do every day of your life, because we believe it's the little bitty things added together in this string of life that can make these huge differences in how productive you are, how much better you feel. And actually, when I wrote the book, I'll be 50 this year. I know that's kind of middle age. I'm creeping up. But I was 43 when I started all of this. And at the age of 43, I was out of shape. I was a little bit overweight. And I really wasn't happy with my life as a whole. And trying to change that all at once would have been too big.
Sure.
And so what we said is, what are the little things? What are those micro actions that we could do every day? So I'm going to give a few examples of some micro actions.
Okay.
The number one micro action that we're known for is that we encourage people to have a written daily plan of action. We believe that the subscribers to the 7-Minute Life theory need to wake up every morning, take out a sheet of paper, and write down 3 or 4 or 5 things that they will commit to doing before 11 o'clock. In fact, we've trademarked that comment, and we call it 5 before 11. Mm. We want people to take the micro action of saying, here are the 5 proactive, high-value things I will do before 11 o'clock each morning. Imagine how much you would reclaim of your day if you would do 5 proactive things before 11 o'clock. Other micro actions might be something as simple as writing a handwritten thank you note to a friend or someone that just needs to be uplifted.
Right.
It could be something as getting up 15 minutes earlier, and a fifth one could be just adding more water, staying hydrated throughout the day by picking up water instead of the soda. So these tiny little micro actions, taking the stairs, drinking extra water, going to bed on time, reading 10 pages of a book, all of those things are micro actions.
Okay, super. You know, and we're the Bible's filled with micro actions we're supposed to do every day, and so much of it is just being intentional about it, I think is one of the things that I gathered out of your book, is getting intentional about what needs to be done, painting a picture of that, and then defining those micro actions that are going to get you there. Now, I suspect that, you know, I know you, that you speak all around the country. Your book's been out now for a couple, three years, so you've had a lot of exposure to how people respond to it. I would guess that as you train folks, that you see some common struggles people have, or common resistance. What are some common things you see where people get tripped up in trying to move forward?
The biggest thing that we see, and I do have the privilege, it is an honor and a privilege to be invited to churches and schools, and of course, my main target audience is corporations and nonprofits. But the main problem we see as we try to help people through all of this is that they have a lack of vision and a lack of clarity of what it is that they want to accomplish. We are very big. There's an entire chapter on goal setting. But until you can, with crystal clear clarity, know exactly what you want to accomplish in your life, and be able to translate that into a written format, until you do that, you don't understand your purpose or know where you're going.
Sure.
If you don't know where you're going, then you're going nowhere. So I think the Bible's very clear on that, too, that each one of us have been created uniquely, that we're given unique gifts and talents, that we need to have a deep and abiding love for how God created us. We need to understand that. We need to translate that into a vision of where we're going, and I think we need to then further translate that into written goals. Our book literally gives you step-by-step ideas for putting your life goals into a methodology and an action plan that you can implement.
Nice.
So the biggest problem I see is a lack of vision and clarity.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. And I bet, now I haven't seen yet, because I think it's fairly new, the 7-Minute Life Daily Planner. Is that your system for to being able to put that to paper, if you will?
Well, here, do we have to be truthful on this call, John?
Sure.
I guess we do. We're talking about the practical disciples.
That would be really good.
It is so fun to stand in front of an audience, and people think I'm a master organizer. They think that I am great at time management and organization. And the reality is that I wrote the book almost as a 12-step program for me, because I was so disorganized and I didn't have the clarity and the vision and understand my purpose. And so this is really an exploration in where you could go. So the 7-Minute Difference, the book, is really the concept of time management and purpose in
okay.
your life. But, you know, we read books all the time and we never turn that into action.
Right.
And so from these classes that we've been teaching, really since 1993 is when I went on the road and started teaching these concepts, since 1993 people have been begging for, okay, how do I take these ideas and translate them into action?
Right.
So the daily planner is very similar to a, you know, any kind of planning system that you would use on a daily basis, like something you would hold in your hand, that takes the concepts from the 7-Minute Difference and turns them into an action plan. It
nice.
Gives you the paper, the pencil, the tools to really do what you said you would do. Nike said, just do it. The 7-Minute Life Planner says, did I do it? So it is very practical. If you go to our website, the7minutedifference.com, we have about 30 minutes of training videos, all, I might add, in 1 or 2 minute increments, that can show you how you can translate time management ideas into really practical activities. And the 7-Minute Life Daily Planner, you can see it there on the website through these videos.
Wow. So it's like a life workbook.
It is a life workbook, and I really keep it by my side all the time. And how it's made a difference for me as a disorganized person is it puts structure in my life that I needed. It actually, I list my 5 before 11, the 5 high-value activities. It has a place for people I want to stay in contact with. It has a place for all the unfinished tasks. It even has a place for what you've spent every day, how much water you've consumed every day, what you've eaten, how much time you've spent in prayer. It's very comprehensive. It has room for all the voicemail that you need to do, how many thank you notes you've written. So every page helps you keep your life on a path that you really set before yourself. And what's great is if you map out this path and you walk down it, you're going to go down the path of purpose and fulfillment and meaning that you've set forth in this vision and clarified, you know, goals that you've set. So we're very excited about these tools that are very, very real.
Oh, that's awesome. Because, you know, I educate a lot within the church, and it's so often that I see people, they get a vision, they get an idea of something they want to do, or they have an insight from a scripture lesson, maybe in Sunday school. But then it seems like there's a disconnect or this great gap between having that insight and realizing it in their lives. And say, I can see something like the 7-Minute Life Daily Planner being a perfect tool for quantifying that, keeping it before them. I have to do that daily in my life. I've got goals around the practical disciple, and they're actually, I'm not quite as organized as a 7-Minute Life Daily Planner, I have to confess. My goals are written in dry erase marker on my bathroom mirror and get updated daily. but there's a lot to be said for just tracking your progress to keep you motivated. So that I'm looking forward to that. That's definitely one of the tools I'm going to have to pick up and add to my toolbox.
Let me add one thing, because you said something, and this is so practical along the Christian path that we're dealing with here. There's a really a new science. Well, it's not new science. It's been out since 1878, but it's called the science of neuroplasticity, which means that the brain is plastic or changeable. And so the good news is people that just wake up and say, you know, I'm chronically disorganized, I'm chronically a procrastinator, I'm always behind on my time management. The good news is you don't have to remain that way. You can change. And the same is true in the Christian faith. When people look at themselves and say, I'm not worthy, I don't measure up, you know, God says to us, no, in my eyes, you know, with my blessings, we can become all things. And so neuroplasticity is just the fact that the brain is changeable and can change. But the way it changes is through repetition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, boy, you could have a whole nother series on this with prayer, that daily scripture reading, daily prayer. It's the daily activity. And the same thing is true in time management. It is that daily goal setting, that daily vision, the daily doing what you said you would do, the daily exercise of your physical body, the daily drinking enough water. So neuroplasticity is just being daily and, as you said, intentional about what you focus on. But, boy, I am so excited about the things that – here's the exciting part is that the more you do something, the easier it gets.
Right.
So I want to tell people that the point of having this daily planner in front of them is that after they've used it for 30 days, they can't help but want to use it because it's making a difference in their life. So repetition will build success is the point of that.
Right. Well, I love that. What was that term again? Neuroplasticity?
It's neuroplasticity. N-E-U-R-O plasticity. P-L-A-S-ticity. Neuroplasticity. But it's a wonderful, wonderful term and tool, and we're going to be writing more of it on our blog. So there's more to come. It's a great, great opportunity to understand how God's created the human brain to be open to change and grow.
Sure. I mean, I hear that, and my mind goes to Romans, where we're told not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know, to me, that's neuroplasticity in a biblical nutshell, you know, is our mind being transformed.
It is. But isn't it good news that we don't have to choose to remain the same? You know, we can choose to look out and say, I can be different tomorrow than I am today.
Right.
And I can take these tiny little steps, just drink one more bottle of water, go to bed 15 minutes earlier, take
sure.
the stairs. That's what the 7-minute difference in the 7-minute life is all about.
Sure. Or, you know, in our faith, I bet there's a lot of people listening right now who are saying, you know, I've always wanted to read the Bible. I run into that constantly, and I'm always helping folks with getting started on reading daily. And that's what a great 7-minute difference. You know, what if today I decided and I chose I'm going to read for 7 minutes or even 5 minutes today, and I just consistently did that, reading the Bible would resolve itself. In fact, I often tell folks, don't worry about reading the Bible, just worry about getting in a daily discipline. And eventually you'll read it, you know, dozens of times if you want, if you can get in that daily discipline of a few minutes a day.
That is so good.
Yeah, and you know, that's true for any aspect of our Christian life. Prayer, Bible reading, we're told to encourage one another. I mean, how long does it take to encourage someone, to give them an encouraging word? And imagine what the church would look like, the body of Christ would look like, if everybody was taking 7 minutes a day to do things like be engaged with God in prayer, be engaged with God in reading scripture, encouraging one another, living out our purpose. So I've got to ask, and I bet you get asked this a lot, why 7 minutes? You know, why not 30 or 2 or 3? Or, why? I'm going to just have to ask, and that's a fluky question, but I'm sure it's not the first time somebody's put it at you.
No, it's a great question, and it comes from research that shows that the average adult has an attention span of 7 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think that's stretching it. In fact, now new research that I read says that the average adult has a true attention span of 2 seconds. So research will vary from 2 seconds to maybe 20 minutes. But the 7-minute segment really comes from the fact, and this goes back to neuroplasticity, because of television, that commercials come on about every 7 minutes.
Right.
You know, every 6 to 7 minutes, there's a television commercial. So you're paying attention, and then boom, there's a commercial, and you're not paying attention. So I think our brains have really been programmed to pay attention in these tiny little segments.
And sure, that's it.
So the 7-minute difference, really, that came from the fact that if we can only pay attention for 7 minutes, what am I going to choose to be attentional about in my life?
Right.
Because if I can only focus on a few things, I better focus on things that matter.
I
want to focus on my faith. I want to focus on my children. I want to focus on leaving a legacy to the world. So this 7-minute thing is very, very important. Even if it's only 2 seconds, I want to make sure I'm focusing on the things that matter.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, you stop and think about neuroplasticity you were talking about, and this change in our ability to focus is a negative example of that. We've been conditioned by being constantly interruptible with cell phones and by watching TV programs that run at amazing paces. People now watch, instead of watching TV, they're watching YouTube, which is never more than 10 minutes. In fact, it's surprising to find a YouTube video that is 10 minutes. They're usually much shorter than that. And I'm seeing it play a part in people's development around their prayer lives. As I've interviewed or as I've taught people over the last 20, 25 years around prayer, 15 years ago, the number one difficulty I found with people having in their prayer life would be being able to find the time to do it. I'm seeing a shift now. That's still a big issue, but somewhere around 3 to 5 years ago, the number one answer I get now is people struggle to focus in prayer. But if you practice that focus, if you practice that taking those 7-minute time increments, you can really grow that. And there's some wonderful benefits and blessings that come out of that. So, wow. Well, we're not quite out of time, but we're getting close. What are some things that you would like to share, maybe that I haven't asked about? And also, maybe even before you do that, let's say someone's listening to this, they've heard this. What is something that you would encourage them to do immediately once they've listened to this? What would probably be the first step for them to take?
Well, I think it all goes back to having clarity.
Okay.
I think they have to listen to their heartbeat. And when they can hear their heart beating, and we call it the drumbeat of their life, literally every day waking up with this excitement where their heart's pounding and their palms are sweating with that heartbeat of their life, I feel like most people go through life not ever knowing what that heartbeat is.
Sure.
And so they just really, they're not attentional about anything. They're not intentional about anything. And they just literally miss life. And so I'll tell one story as we begin to close out, that one of my dear friends at the age of 50 decided she wanted to jump out of a perfectly good airplane for her 50th birthday. And I said, what was it like? And she said, Allison, it was great. We got there and I was given 15 minutes of ground school, and the man that I was going to be jumping with said, here's what's going to happen. We're going to suit up and we're going to be tandem together, and then we're going to get on the plane. And when we get on the plane, it's going to happen very quickly. The plane's going to take off and it's going to go to 10,000 feet and we're going to get to the correct altitude.
Oh my goodness.
And then he said, then I'm going to stand up, but because we're connected together, when I stand up, you're going to stand up. And he said, I'm going to yell at you, put your arms across your chest, and you're going to put your arms across your chest. He said, then the door of the plane is going to open. And it's a tiny little plane, so
sure,
when the door opens, you're going to feel this rush of cold air come in. And when the cold air comes in, I'm going to yell, put your toes out the door. And she said, she was going to put her toes out the door. And then he said immediately he was going to grab hold of the door jamb and go, rock one, rock two, and on three, they'd be out the door. And I said, well, Karen, what did you do? And she said, Allison, it sounded like a really good idea while we were standing on the ground.
Yeah.
But she said she had always wanted to do that. She wanted to feel alive again. And so
right,
she really did. She suited up. She got on the plane. And she said it did happen very quickly.
Yeah.
They got to the correct altitude. And the man stood up. And she said when he stood up, her heart almost quit beating. She wanted to do this. And then he yelled, put your arms across your chest. And so she did. She put her arms across her chest. And then the door opened. And, John, this is the point of the 7-minute difference, is even in this call, I want people to get on the plane. I want people to suit up. And that, boy, doesn't that just bring you back to scripture?
Yeah.
Put on the full armor of God. I want them to suit up. And I want them to be carabinered, not to another man, but I want them to be carabinered to God, so that when God calls them to stand up in life, they stand up with him.
Right.
And they're just standing in front of God, and God will call out, put your arms across your chest, and then you do. And then God calls out and says, it's time. Let's put our toes out the door. And boy, don't I want to be willing to put our
sure
toes out the door. And then let God Almighty grab a hold of the door jamb of my heart and my life and say, rock one, rock two, rock three. And then go wherever he calls me to go. Yeah. I just love that picture of excitement.
Yeah, I'm getting excited sitting here. You know?
And I tell you what, she went out the door, and she absolutely loved the experience of skydiving with this man. And I want that in my life. And as a teacher and a trainer and a person of hope, I really think people want to feel that feeling of living with their toes out the door,
right,
the wind in their face, and God holding on to them, God Almighty holding on to them and lifting them up throughout the rest of their life. If I could leave your listeners with something today, I would tell them that God is calling out to them and saying, come with me. Get on the plane. Let me help you put your arms across your chest and put your toes out the door.
Sure.
That's what the 7-minute difference is about. And the beauty of where I am in life is I feel like I'm leading a life of purpose by sharing this message. I want your listeners to know what they are called to be, to feel that heartbeat in their life, and to really submit to the leading of God and to go with whatever he's put in their heart. And we believe if they can translate that vision into daily activities, even 7 minutes at a time, it can transform not only their lives, but transform the entire world. And that's this message, John.
Oh, how exciting. Well, and this is so timely, Allison. It struck me as our interview was going on, and somebody may listen to this later, but as we're recording it, we're a little less than 2 weeks away from the season of Lent. And I know not all churches recognize or celebrate that, but that's a 40-day opportunity for somebody to select a micro action and put their toes, you know, out the door, if you will. And to folks who are listening, you can go to my website, thepracticaldisciple.com, and I have a page with a link at the top of some suggestions around activities that you could take on during Lent. And I highly encourage everybody listening to go to the 7minutedifference.com. And that's the 7 minute difference, correct, Allison?
That's correct.
Yeah, the 7minutedifference.com. And you can find there the resources that Allison has shared with us today. I'm so delighted that you were willing to come and do this interview. And I'll be anxious to hear from my readers. I hope they'll comment and share some of the micro actions that that they have coming up in their lives that they're going to take. Anything else? We've got just about 3 or 4 minutes. I'm so excited by the plane story. I kind of almost want to stop here and go stick my toes out the door. But I do want to offer you just one last chance here if there's something we failed to mention.
You know, John, I just want to say that I am so appreciative of what you're doing. The Practical Disciple is about the dailiness of it. And, you know, I do think I can get people pumped up about life, but the world is not a Pollyanna world.
No.
You know, life is going to come crushing back in on them. And it's that every day, it's the taking what you believe deep in your heart, that drumbeat of life, and it's executing it every day, day after day after day,
right,
and being faithful in that. That's where this becomes either harder if you make it hard, or through neuroplasticity if you make it easier.
Sure.
Think of neuroplasticity and the fact that your brain is like a tall, grassy field. And the first time you try to do anything, if you're trying to walk through chest-high grass, it would be hard to walk through chest-high
right.
grass. So anything new in your life is hard or difficult. But if you do it the first day, you lay some of the grass down. And if you wake up the next day and you say, here are my 5 before 11,
right.
here's my purpose, here's my vision, this is what I'm going to accomplish, and you walk that same path the second day, the grass bends over a little. And the third day, it bends over a little more. And the 30th day, it bends over a little more. And that's probably why Lent isn't one day long. That's
sure.
probably why Lent is 40 days long, because after 30 or 40 days, there's a path. And so the 7 minute difference in the 7 minute life is about creating these paths in life that are repeatable and measurable and exciting.
Right.
And so that's what I want to encourage, is don't be discouraged if the first day it's hard to pray, or it's hard to read, or it's hard to come up with a list of 5 things. Stick to it and be willing to go day after day after day as part of this.
Right. Well, and perseverance is such a core theme in Scripture. And I think it's because, you know, God knows that it's that the challenges we face in life are difficult, but he walks alongside us with those changes. And as Scripture says, he makes all things new. And I take a lot of hope in that. I'm glad it doesn't say he makes all new things, you know, that he doesn't give up on us. And if we drop the ball, you just pick right back up where you left off. I find that when I counsel people in reading Scripture, the biggest place where I see them fall down is they'll miss a reading or two, and they get caught in a mindset of, I have to make it up, or I have to catch up. And I just tell them, let go of that and just get started again, because otherwise it becomes this massive obstacle for them. And the next thing you know, they're not reading at all. But if they'll just pick up right where they left off, or pick up where they were to be next, and just keep at it. And then sure enough, those folks persevere and they see, you know, radical change in their lives, but done gradually over time.
You make a great point. We started this interview today with the comment that the key theme or the catchphrase for the 7-minute difference is that change happens in an instant. And the rest of that story is that change happens in an instant. It happens the moment you decide to change.
Right.
The real happening in this is when you decide. And so if I could have a call to action, it is that people listening today would make a decision that they don't have to remain the same, that they could choose to be different tomorrow than they are today, and so that they could embrace change, be excited about change. It's the decision to change that happens in an instant. Change obviously does not happen overnight. Change is a wonderful process of little incremental things that happen every day. So it's the decision to change that happens in an instant, and I get pretty fired up about that.
Yeah, I could see so. Well, hey, I think I'll stop this on that. That's a great ending point. And once again, I want to thank you. And this is Allison Lewis, with the author of The 7-Minute Difference. And you can learn more about her or order that resource from the7minutedifference.com. And I'm your host, John Arnold, the Practical Disciple. And Allison, I just want to once again say thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, John.